As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Our latest team preview will focus on the rebuilding Rangers.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Thursday, February 4th. I'm Al Melchior. I am here with Michael Beller. And Michael, you know, I think this might be an exciting show for you. We're going to talk about the Texas Rangers, and they've got David Dahl as one of their big pickups from the offseason so far. And from what I gather from you, it's no cores, no problem.
Yeah, right. I was very excited by this signing, so I am definitely excited to get into some Rangers. And hey, just 2 days ago, you and I did our first show. It was the Milwaukee Brewers, and 48 hours later, they signed Colton Wong. So maybe we should be looking out for a big Rangers signing over the weekend.
That is exactly how this works. So everybody, keep your ears and eyes open, and to help us get up to speed on everything that the Rangers have done so far, we've got here Levi Weaver, the Athletic's Rangers beat writer. Levi, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us to talk about the Rangers.
Yeah, man, it's I don't know when the last time I heard the words exciting and Texas Rangers in the same sentence, and you guys just like threw them out there right off the top. So I'm not sure if we came into this with the same level of expectations, but let's see where it goes.
Fair enough. Maybe I'm the most I don't even want to say optimistic, but I think there's a lot of interesting things going on between some of the acquisitions and the prospects, and we'll talk about all of those items and more. So in fact, let's start with the offseason acquisitions on the hitting side. David Dahl and Nate Lowe becoming Rangers, and for Lowe it's an opportunity to get more playing time. For Dahl, it's just an important change of scenery for him. I don't know necessarily if it's a good one, but both of them, I suppose, profile as platoon hitters. Do you know what the plans are in terms of letting them or not letting them play against left-handed starters?
Yeah, I know the plan with Nate Lowe is to just turn him loose. And of course, they, you know, when they made the trade, the Rangers have a first baseman, Ronald Guzman, who's out of options, by the way. And so that's going to present an interesting conundrum as to how they're going to structure that 25-man roster. I honestly don't see any way that he doesn't get traded unless there's an injury that sort of he's able to shoehorn into the lineup, maybe sliding low over to third or something. I don't know. But yeah, they made it pretty apparent from day one that the plan is for Lowe to be the starter. And they sort of, John Daniels and Chris Woodward both, acknowledge like there needs to be competition. He's going to have to win the job, but we wouldn't have traded all those people for him if we didn't expect him to be the starter. And the hitting against left-handed pitching was specifically mentioned. That like they believe that that's something he can do. Their scouts seem to think that he didn't get a fair shot at hitting against left-handed pitching with the Rays, and so yeah, they're going to see how it goes. I think Dahl in left field is probably also going to, you know, assuming he can stay healthy, which is a big assumption. given his track record. But I think the plan is for him to just be the left fielder and scoot Willie Calhoun to DH. Shin-Soo Choo is a free agent now, and I don't see any way that they bring him back. So, I think the plan is for both of those guys to be full-time guys.
Be very interesting to see. I hope David Dahl can't stay healthy, because he's a guy who I really think out of cores even can have himself mm-hmm. a really nice season if he could just stay on the field and get 450 plate appearances, something along those lines. So exciting to see that the Rangers are going to give him that opportunity if his body will also give him the opportunity. In the rotation, it's not looking like the most exciting rotation from either real life or fantasy perspectives, but the team right. did make a little bit of a splash by bringing over Kohei Arihara, signed in mm-hmm. late December after six seasons professionally in Japan. What should we know about him going into the start of the 2021 season?
The big thing that was stressed to us is that don't expect this to be Yu Darvish. He is not the same pitcher. Just don't assume just because he's from Japan and pitching for the Rangers that he's somehow magically going to develop into the guy with more strikeouts per nine innings than anyone in the history of baseball. So he probably profiles as like a low three or a high four starter, a guy that can throw a lot of innings. And honestly, I think innings were a big factor, because the league leader last year in innings pitched was Lance Lynn. And he threw, I think, was it 84, 86, something like that. How anybody is going to jump from that level up to a 200 inning season, I don't think it happens. But Arihara threw like around 131 innings, I think, last year. And really, they just need him to stay healthy and go out there. And if he has an ERA that's in the mid fours and he has a slightly sub 500 record, I think they're going to look at that as a success if it means that they're not having to overextend the rest of their rotation and pitching staff.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the pitching staff in the bullpen is looking like something that could be a mixed bag in the fantasy mm-hmm. world. Of course, we're expecting Jose Leclerc to enter spring training as the guy to beat as the closer for this team, limited to just two innings last season because of a shoulder issue that essentially cost him the entire year. Are we reading this correctly? Mm-hmm. Are we right that this is going to be a situation where it's Leclerc's job to lose at the start of the spring?
I think so. So here's the situation there. Like when the Rangers traded Keone Kella in 2018, Leclerc ascended to the throne. He was the closer, and dude had a lights out second half. He was untouchable for that second half of the season. The team gave him an extension. He came in 2019 and promptly lost the closer's job. Couldn't find the strike zone. Just was all over the place. And he kind of had to work his way back up pitching sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, and mm-hmm. finally kind of got back there at the end of the season. The hope was that in 2020 he would step back up and be the closer. Two innings into the season, there goes his shoulder. So I think he gets another shot to do it. He's the safe bet, but the Rangers kind of discovered last year that Jonathan Hernandez is pretty nasty, and so I think their willingness to sort of wait out another implosion from Leclerc is probably going to be pretty slim. And he was fairly effective in that seventh and eighth inning role. And if that's what he ends up being, then move Hernandez into the closer's role, and maybe that's a successful back into the bullpen. So, yeah, my sleeper for the next guy up to get saves is definitely Jonathan Hernandez.
Do you think this is a situation that will get resolved in spring training, or do you think that the plan is just to go with Leclerc and see if he can hold the job?
Man, it's a good question. I think Leclerc would have to have a really bad spring for them to make that decision then and not give him another regular season chance. And the reason that I say that is I'm kind of looking back at the team's willingness to give guys like Rougned Odor chance after chance. And I mean, that's, we can get into Odor's situation too later. I think that's a really fascinating one, but I kind of think they want to give Leclerc, I mean, they signed him to an extension, right? They've had a bad track record of developing pitching. And if they can develop this guy, like that they signed as a 16-year-old as a J2, and he could be a really big win for the development staff. And so I think they really want to see him succeed, and they're going to give him every chance to do so. That said, Jonathan Hernandez is also a homegrown guy. So you know, maybe that mitigates the burn a little bit if Leclerc doesn't end up being a lockdown closer.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have options, to be sure. But you mentioned Rougned Odor. So, yeah, let's go back to looking at the offensive side here. And there are a number of players who are still technically rookies, though each made an appearance or made several appearances in 2020. Leody Taveras, Sam Huff, Shorten Apostle, Anderson Tejada. What do you see as the playing time situation for those four rookies, and how would that affect somebody like Rougned Odor and possibly even Nick Solak?
Yeah, so I think Taveras is probably the starting center fielder. The Rangers did sign Delino DeShields to a minor league deal, so they're going to provide some competition in spring, which is good. You can't just sort of hand it over. But Taveras' defense is so, so good that if he can just hit enough, and there were signs last year that maybe he was getting there. So I think the plan is for him to be the starter in center field. Shorten Apostle is going to start in the minor leagues. He's probably not quite ready to take over third base yet. I say probably, you know, keep an eye on it. The Rangers don't necessarily have a third baseman right now. It might be Elvis Andrus because Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has been named the starting shortstop already. So Andrus is a man without a position. Third base would seem to make sense if he has a good spring. Third base might also be an option for Rougned Odor. It might be some sort of a platoon between the two of them hitting right and left. I don't know. But they have said that they feel like Apostle is not quite... They kind of want to see him get some more time in the minor leagues. Who else do we have? Sam Huff. Absolutely demolished pitching in his like 10 games or whatever he had at the big league level last year. Right now, the starting catcher is Jose Trevino. And they brought in, I think, Drew Butera is the most likely guy to be the backup. I think they want to see Sam Huff kind of get some finishing polish on him in AAA before he comes up. But when he does come up, I think he's the guy. And then Anderson Tejada made a jump from A-ball to the big leagues last year. Still a very aggressive hitter. I think they probably would like to see maybe a little bit more patience from him. He likes to swing the bat. So I would imagine he starts in AA this year. I would not expect to see him in the big leagues unless he's a September call-up. So of those four guys, I think Leody Taveras is the guy that I would most expect to get a significant chunk of playing time.
Going to follow up with one question here for you, Levi, before we wrap things up. You mentioned Isaiah Kiner-Falefa getting named the starting shortstop for this team. Obviously, this is a departure from what we've seen from him in the field to this point of his career. Is the glove going to be good enough for him to stick here? Because he's been a fringy fantasy player, mostly because of the catcher eligibility. Can he stick at this position?
Absolutely. He might be the best defensive shortstop in the organization right now. Top to bottom, and defense has never been a question for him. He came up as a shortstop. Dude can play anywhere, and I would not at all be surprised to see him win a Gold Glove or two at shortstop if the bat will let him stick. And that he made a huge step forward last year. His bat was much better than it had been in previous years. I mean, he went like what? I'm making these numbers up, but they're close. He went like 4 or 5 years in the minor leagues and hit like one home run. Did not have any power when he first started ball, like organized affiliated ball. but has come a long ways. His power has started to develop a little bit. He's back into his sort of infielder body. He felt like he had to bulk up a little bit to play catcher. His swing has been a whole lot better last year than it was in years before, or in the year that he was focused on catching. So yeah, I'm very bullish on Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
All right. Well, yeah, good question there from Michael. And on that note, we are going to wrap up this episode. So if you're enjoying this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15 on a platform that allows you to leave a rating and a review, we always do appreciate it when you take the time to do that. And Levi, we certainly do appreciate you taking the time and packing in a lot of information on the Rangers in a very short time. So thank you so much for dropping in.
Yep. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, our pleasure. So for Michael Beller and for Levi Weaver, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be right back here on Friday.